Most famous passages of scripture. You hear it at most weddings, not even churchy weddings. Most weddings, though. How does it start? Love is patient, is kind. Yeah, I won't make you go through the whole thing, but you get it. You're right. Most of us would be able to say that quicker than we might even be able to say some of the words from the Sermon on the Mount. It's interesting how much these words from Paul have seeped into our culture, and we really care about embodying those pieces of love. Paul is such a crucial figure in our understanding of who Jesus was and who Jesus still is. When we read Paul's words in 1 Corinthians, when we're reading this letter, scholars like to remind us, and I love this image, that we're reading someone else's mail. Paul did not have a vision of Kansas City, Missouri in 2024. That wasn't on his mind. But he had a very specific purpose for writing this message, this letter to a church, a gathering of people in Corinth. And throughout the years, people looked at this letter and re-looked at this letter and re-looked at this letter for 2,000 years and were able to believe together through our tradition that this letter somehow still speaks truth to our current situation, our current church. What an amazing thing that is. That God can work through this beautiful work, this beautiful letter, 2,000 years later. I just think that's it. I just think that's really incredible. So, in the interpretation commentary, theologian Richard Hayes says, "We discern the words that come through this ancient letter. We must be alert to discovering imaginative analogies between the world of the letter and the world we inhabit. We recognize that 1 Corinthians is not written to us. We learn to read it, though it were. We project ourselves imaginatively into the fairway life, faraway life, excuse me, I'm thinking about the golf course still, into the faraway life of the Corinthians congregation, and thereby learn to see our own life in strange and challenging new ways." How fun. We get caught up, baby, we can get caught up today in facts when we think about truth. And facts are very important. When we talk about things that are on the news, or when we talk about things that are in our social media feeds, facts are very important, so don't hear me wrong. There are already people being tricked online all the time by artificial intelligence images now that are just created by a computer, and people are believing that it is true. Truth, though, is something different. Truth, though, is something that is hard to quantify. Truth is something that we seek when we seek Christ. I think we find a lot of truth in this letter to the Corinthians. Corinth is a wealthy city, much like the U.S. It's big on trade. They host something known as the Isthmian, let's just say that, games. It was second only to the Olympic Games. We know a little bit about sports in the United States. I think we're about to start one of the biggest multi-billion dollar sports tournaments in the world this week. Well, it starts today, right? Play-in games are today for the NCAA tournaments. The city was known to have all type of proclivity. If you catch my drift. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Not only in matters of the world were they similar to us, but in matters of the spirit as well. Many gods, many things that were distracting, that were worshiped, many things that were looked upon as the things that could save instead of the one true God. While we all may remember Paul preaching about love, patient, kindness, we must first hear him describe the church. It is such a beautiful portrait of the kingdom of God. I want you to hear this. This is 1 Corinthians starting in verse 12. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant about your spiritual gifts. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were often misled by false gods that can't even speak. So I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when speaking by God's Spirit. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person. A word of knowledge is given to another according to the same Spirit. Faith to still another by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing to another in one Spirit. For performance of miracles to another. Prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart from one another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of tongues to another. All of these things are produced by one and the same Spirit who gives what all he wants to each person. People in this context would have thought that different gods were giving people different things, right? So you had a god of love, you had a god of grain, you had a god of agriculture, whatever, all the different kinds of things. Paul contradicts this very quickly. He's speaking to a specific group of people in a specific time. And he says, everything that you have, all the things that you gain, all the gifts that you have are good, and they come from one God. Today, this still matters. We hear this all the time. Karma. Good luck. All kinds of other things. Now, don't go around to your friends and chastise them for saying good luck. All right, don't be that person. But it is helpful for us to be reminded again and again that luck is not luck. That luck is Christ. Cosmic karma is not a thing that we attribute in the United Methodist Church. We do not believe that the planets aligning in a certain way give us a better month than another. Christ is on the throne and Christ is moving within us, helping us to find ways in which we can engage with this world, grow, live, and have life abundant. Again, don't go yelling at your friends, stuff like that. But when you hear that, let that luck be a reminder of what Christ is doing in your life. Let that situation be a reminder of what God has already done and is preparing all the time. Paul expounds upon this and continues. He talks about our spiritual gifts, the things in our lives that God gives us. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit that has many parts. All the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, does that mean that it's not a part of the body? If the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, does that mean that it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, what would happen to its sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts of one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones that we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, so that their parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. How important is this to hear? We have a whole world that is telling everybody that they have to look exactly like this, or they have to look exactly like that. Everybody needs to look like this person. Everybody needs to have this thing. Everybody needs to buy this house. Everybody needs to be like this. And Paul is telling us a completely different thing. Your uniqueness, your God-given uniqueness, is the thing that makes you special. Every single one of you, I look out across this room right now, and there are as many different gifts as there are people in this room. There are as many different challenges in your life. There are as many different witnesses to Christ and the good work of God in the world. Your uniqueness is not a problem for the church. And if anybody ever tells you it is, do not listen to them. Your uniqueness, our children's uniqueness, our students' uniqueness is not a problem for God. It is a gift to be celebrated. All of your gifts, no matter what they are, whether it's music and you're on stage, whether it's coming in and setting up a chair, no matter what it is, no one is exalted over the other. We have a stage so people can see, But that stage creates this weird boundary that for some reason, because I'm standing up on the stage, I am subject over what is happening on the floor. And that is not the case in the kingdom of God. Yes, we've set up our rooms like this, but your pastors think a different way. There are people that come in each week and count money and input things into computers. I would die if I had to do that every week. Thank God for their unique gift of accounting. You think I was going to say thank God for accountants today? I am so grateful for all the different gifts. We forget this in the world. We want people to all look the same. It's easier that way. We want us to all believe the same. It's easier that way. We want us to all be Republicans. We want us to all be Democrats. It's easier that way. It doesn't work like that. All of us have unique gifts. That means all of us have unique stories. That means all of us have unique experiences. Of course, our beliefs are going to be unique. What an amazing gift. Iron sharpening iron. Us working together. You don't have to forsake your gifts. You don't have to forsake your beliefs. But maybe one of us can help the other one see a little bit different. Maybe your gift helps my gift. Maybe my gift can help your gift. Oh, but we forget why all of this matters. So Paul reminds us, if I speak in the tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I am a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away everything that I have, and hand over my body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. We can have all the opinions in the world. We can think we're so right. We can use our gifts for all of the good things in the world, but if we are not doing that for the love of Christ, if we are not doing that with love at the center, Christ at the center, it will be for nothing. Because of Christ, we commit to this body. Because of Christ, we commit to a world, a life that looks different, that is tougher, that is unique, that has all of the pieces of the body working together. We are not the body without Brenda. We are not the body without Kirk. We are not the body without you. The ones that are not here, those who have not came, those who are in your life, we are not the body without them. This invitation for Christ, this invitation for good is open to all people. And we fully believe that. Not everything in our lives will be different because we are compelled to look and live like Christ, but it should challenge us. We see the truth. Capital T truth, even though we're reading someone else's mail. Will you pray with me? Holy God, thank you for our unique gifts. For as many gifts as there are stars in the sky, for as many experiences as there are, for as many beliefs as they are. Help us to express our gifts, our experiences, our beliefs. Help us to do so with you, with love at the center. Amen.